All right, let's settle in, grab our Bibles. As Adriel said, we continue this month in this series, which is an extension of what we started really back in the spring, or even in the early winter, if you remember, rolling out pieces of what we believe, and then from the pulpit in September. And now we're going to round the bend with these more distinctive things, as we shared. Where are we? Let me get this going here. There we go. Last time we talked about discipleship, if you recall that. Tonight we're going to talk about membership. Next time, again, as Adriel mentioned, Jeremy will be helping us think through music and why we believe what we believe and do what we do. And then David will bring us home in 2 weeks as he talks about culture. Both ends, really, not just culture more broadly, but really things that distinguish us from nominal church culture as well, too. So we'll be looking at that for this month. And then do note, pods go into December, as he mentioned as well. So let's just jump right in. Mention that these are topics that we do get a lot of feedback on. We get a lot of input on. Tonight is definitely one of those, so we want to allow time for that this evening. And we're going to begin, we're going to do a few different things tonight. And the first one for a topic like this is really to start with what membership is not. And I think that's really important. I say this every time we teach on membership. It's not lost on David and I that membership is the big bad word in a lot of churches, right? It's really a despised practice, and I don't say that lightly. It is true. A lot of people just don't get it and can't get behind it. So we want to make sure we teach it right and first dispel some myths. So what membership is not? Membership is not uniformity. We do not dispense those. I've joked with you guys before, as catchy as those green and blue, did you get that? Green and blue overalls would be. We would not be giving those out here. And that's not what we're talking about. We don't put, you know, Westmount member number 117 on your badge, right? And you go around that, you know, praise God, we don't do that, right? We say all the time, this is not handing over all your goods or some sort of commune kind of living. No, membership is really one of the most practical expressions downstream of a triune God. It is diversity in unity. Does that make sense? Diversity in unity. It's just a really sweet thing. So number one, membership is not uniformity. Number two, membership is not 100% agreement. This is probably one of the biggest things that needs to be dispelled when we walk through membership. A lot of people think, well, I need to just agree with everything. It doesn't mean that we all agree with every jot and tittle. Membership is submission to a local church, even in disagreement. And I would submit to you, that is blessedly beautiful. We have people here that are members that hold hands together, that disagree on deacons being female, that disagree on eschatology, that disagree on the spiritual gifts, and we get along really well, don't we? And that's unity and diversity. That is, I'd like to say, I know I'm always boasting on Westmount, mature saints that can live disagreeing on these things and not make it an issue. Membership is not agreeing with every jot and tittle, and I think this creates confusion at times, too. Atticus is working on, and as he's put in your mailboxes, the updated member book. Just note, and this we'll be working through this in March when we renew vows, note that line there. We recognize the elders will teach the Bible with the convictions and beliefs as outlined in the Westmount Bible Chapel Members One of Another booklet, and as members of Westmount Bible Chapel, this is important, agree to submit ourselves under and abide by such teaching to the end of discipleship and discipline. What it's not saying is you need to fall into line with everything. It means you recognize the church you're at, what they believe and teach. It's a difference between agree and abide. Does that make sense? That's what unity is based off of. I don't know about you guys. I know in my own home, we have theological disagreement. You can imagine we have some lively chats in the Belgrave home. And we just disagree on things, and it's blessed, right? Some of us get fiery at times, right? And we're kind of going back and forth. But that's healthy, isn't it? What we're not is just coming off a conveyor belt line, right? And feeling insecure that we all have to, you know what I mean, live a certain way. No, that's the blessedness of membership. And finally, membership is not snobbery. I mean, I really feel liberated to say, this is not snobbery. I'm a member of such and such a church. That's not what this is. Membership is not snobbery. It's biblical submission. Membership is blessed protection. I hope you feel that. And it's an administration that enables sheep and shepherds to grow and flourish in a healthy fashion. Membership is a protective mechanism given to us in God's word. So I hope that makes sense. And I say that just to start as we now delve into what we believe about membership. And that's one precursor. I'd say the other one to what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight is not going to be this exclusively, but much of tonight is going to be more how than why. More what does the machinery look like at Westmount as we're fleshing out membership? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mike. Oh, right here.
Good job, Hayden. I don't know whether you're going to mention this too, but we've had people come and say they want to become a member as soon as they walk in the door because they think there's some perks that right. They will benefit from.
Right.
But being member means that you serve, not get.
Yeah, no, that's really good, David. And I think it's worth even saying off the top. I think that's really, really important. And we face that a lot. So we're going to come back to some of that later on. But that's it's good. We need to set the table broadly. So that's excellent. And on that, then, I think it's important to look at the how with that, to look at the machinery, if you will, versus the why. And why are we going to do that tonight? Because if you've been at Westmount for a bit, almost, I think, most people in this room have been exposed to one of our membership teachings at some point, right? It's a staple in the fundamentals class every year, and you're in there, you'll be taught. Every other year in frameworks, we do it. This year, it's due up again. We're going to be teaching that at the end of the frameworks year. And in 2023, we did a pulpit teaching on it, if you remember as well. So in one sense, I hope you're well informed, many of you or most of you, to say, okay, I know what they would say at Westmount as to why they believe that. What we're looking to do tonight is just kind of to fill in addressing a lot of the more practical questions that people have about membership. Are we tracking so far? Does that make sense? Okay, good. Great. So let's start to unpack this. And again, it doesn't mean we won't get to some of why questions or open the Bible. Of course, you need to do that, which we'll do in just one moment. But we're going to look at four particular pieces of membership rolled out practically. And the first one is identity. And I want us to fix this in our minds. It's identity and local identity. So let's look at a few of these. Of course, we are borrowing from the why, but can I get someone to grab numbers 1 to 2? Might ask Jeremy or Atticus or Gabe if you want to read the number, or Ezra 2, 1 to 2. And then someone grab Acts 6, 1, and then someone grab 1 Timothy 5, 9 to 10. If you guys can just read those and we can pause after each one, we'll make comment. Okay, and then what transpires after that? If Jeremy was going to continue to read, if you just scan the rest of the chapter, what do you see there? You can just throw it out. Yeah, count numbers, names, census, and roll, right? Now, this is a military census to open numbers 1, the men that are able to go to war, but they're identified, right? They're categorized and so on. Now, again, we flesh through that more with the why messages we do, but we just want to see this in Scripture. Ezra 2, 1 to 2, who's got that?
Now, these are the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken away into exile to Babylon, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each in his own city. city. These came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Realiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel.
And again, if you were to keep looking after what Atticus read, what do you see there? Yeah, lots of numbers, lots of names, right? This is a roll of the exiles returning. There's names on here of people that return to the land, specific numbers. This is, and again, as we've taught this before, this is just recap. This is Old Testament administration. This is not foreign to the Bible, right? God is a God of order. He's concerned with administrating his people. Does that make sense? They're identified, right? They're counted, they're rostered. What about Acts 6:1 as we move to the new covenant people, the New Testament? Who's got that? All right, so there is a daily distribution, and we can infer from the passage we're going to read next there is a role of these widows that receive the distribution. We can infer that because of 1 Timothy 5, 9-10. Who's got that?
Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work.
Now, what's interesting here, and again, the point of this exercise is not to go in detail, but we do want to point out one thing here. There's not only a role and an identification. What else do you see with these widows here in 1 Timothy 5?
They're known for serving.
What's that?
They're known for serving.
Yeah, they're known, exactly. And there's, we could say this, Tyler, there's almost some parameters given. We kind of shudder in our modern sensibilities to that, don't we? Like, can we be honest tonight? Wait. This is kind of an exclusive register. They have to be doing things or identified a particular way. And we say, yes, that's what the text says. It clearly says there's a role, an identification. And you know, it doesn't mean let's just pick anyone who wants to be on here. There's actually some rules of roster, right? Do we see it very clearly in the New Testament? This is what we see. Again, these are just examples. So God's people we see in the old and the new identified, counted and rostered. Now again, much more we would say if we were doing a full-blown why membership message, but you've heard those, and you know that's just repeat. What does member identity at Westmount look like? So let's zero that in. So if we're going to take a biblical principle and practice, the question people would say is, what does that look like now? Is that a fair question? What might that look like here at Westmount? Well, it looks like this. You're familiar with the board out there. We have a roster of members, one that is public, one that we administer. I don't want to say behind the scenes. You see that in the bottom corner. But yes, we use a spreadsheet and a roster to track members, right? Because that's a shepherding tool. It's ways that we identify if you get the weekly update. You see that in the bottom left-hand corner. Special announcements. In the top right-hand corner, I hear there's a special date happening next May. I don't know if you've heard about that. So these are ways that we track these things, right? And there's targeted things that we would send, right? This is administration. And yes, sometimes, as Tyler and Veda and Atticus and Michaela would say, they very care about the members of this chapel being invited to their special occasion. And we administrate that. Sometimes you have special announcements that need to go out to a particular group. We need to administrate that. So what does the identity look like? In one sense, we could say most publicly, you go out on the bulletin board and you see who are the publicly identified members of this chapel. I'm not going to compare it to the roles in Ezra and Numbers, but you get the idea, right? There's no secret as to who is identifying with this local church. Does that make sense? So number one, in terms of our practice here, we make sure that members are identified, rostered, right, administrated. And we would like to say no different to what you would see in the Word of God. Are we tracking? so far. And again, you'll shoot those hands up and slow me down. Remember, that's always a help. Yep, David, there you go.
In case some might be worried, we don't allow the membership directory to go out to those who are non-members.
There you go. We're in sync, brother. This is just great. That's the exact next slide for that. So we do. Oh, we've got one back there too. Before we get to that. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that right now, Laura. He actually just did the red carpet for this one. He said, we don't allow membership information to go out to non-members. And one of the ways that that's helped is with the membership directory. So members, you have a copy of this. This has everything from pictures to addresses to phone numbers. And you can imagine, that's a sensitive piece of information. We have had non-members ask for that, and we say no. And we do that because we're protecting the information of the people that are members here at the chapel. Does that make sense? So that's basically, Laura, what David was saying. And this is part of how we administrate members that are identifying here. Whoops. Sorry, you seen that? Nope. Does that make sense so far? We have different sensitivities with the membership directory. Not all of our members are in there. Even that is a sensitivity for those that even are members and so on. But this is a way that there is identification. How are we doing membership here? This is one of the ways that we do it. And always a great opportunity. Adriel does a fine job putting that together, making us all look well. Matt has got a question there. David, you want to give it to Matt there?
What's the purpose of having the membership list at the back on the bulletin board?
Yeah, great question, Matt. Great question. Let's go back to it here. And people have asked that question before. We're going to get into the accountability bucket in a moment. But I'd say, Matt, it's the most public way that we would say these are the faces, the people that comprise Westmount Bible Chapel in the most public way. It is a help, of course, beyond the directory to people that are here. But for a way to, yeah, just make it known, I guess, is probably the simplest way to say it. We're going to get into accountability in a moment, so it's not some secret society that we have here. We're very clear on who those that are identifying with Westmount is. I don't know, David, if you want to add to that in terms of why we have it. Okay. Good question, Matt, for sure. And really, in the spirit of that, Matt, we would say transparency, not only identity, transparency. And you know, if you've been around Westmount for any amount of time, you know that is definitely something we want to be always open and transparent about the things that we do. So that, Matt, just furthers us to that end. All right. So identity, secondly, and this links to Matt's question, accountability. And why is this important? We're going to put some pieces together. You're identified as members, right? And you can see right away how this chafes against modern sensibilities. Wanting to just waft into a church, waft out, try to get there just before it starts, just leave right when it's done, be anonymous, right? Membership's a way to blow up that sensibility that we may all have. No, we are not only identifiable as a member, we're accountable. We're accountable as they were in the New Testament. Does that make sense? Identifiable and accountable. Go to Romans 12, verse 5. This is the verse that kind of leads off our members one of another booklet, and we really couch everything in this because this is they would say, the essential reality of what it means to be in the body of Christ. Romans 12, 5. Someone read that.
So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another.
Yeah, that expression is just, it's so loaded. We're individually members one of another. In New Testament local church context especially, we belong to each other. That's the idea here. So we're not only identifying, right, with each other, then we have responsibilities to each other. And you know these, the one another commands. I mean, there's so many, that's just a small sample. Think about that. These are New Testament commands to you and me. And how do we execute those commands? In our bedrooms, behind our screens? With each other, in community, doing life together. And we can be negligent in that duty. Is that not true? And that's what accountability is. We identify. So if I could spring Matt a little bit more off of what you're saying, it's more of like, I haven't seen so-and-so in for a bit. Or who is this person, right? We're accountable as identified members of this church. Hopefully that makes sense. Again, you'll stop me if you would. Now, it works horizontally, right, with one another's, right? But we think about also the mechanism that God has given to us in the local church. I know David and I appreciate this, knowing who we will answer for. We've said this before. When David and I pass on to glory, we want to know who we're going to answer for. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Spring off, Matt, reason two or three, you look at that list. David and I, when we meet, know those are the individuals that we will answer to God for. Those are the ones. Those are the ones that have covenanted and committed, and we will answer to the Lord for them. So it works as you think about the one another's that you're responsible for. It helps elders to know who they will answer for. This is accountability. So this is how membership is fleshed out at Westmount Bible Chapel. Now with that, Tyler, Scott one, yep.
I just wanted to reinforce the point, the your leaders there is a specific group of people who were being written to by the author of the Hebrews, which I think you just lose when you most people go to read their Bibles, and you lose the fact that that was a specific set number of 118 people, whatever congregation the author of the Hebrews is writing to, right? Like, it was a specific people. It's not just an amorphous, anonymous your. It's your, and the leaders are also known. Mm-hmm. It's not like we don't know who they are, who the your is, who the your leaders are. They're all people known at that time, if they're not named, which often you do see in the epistles. Mm-hmm. Many in the assembly being named by Paul, for example. But yeah. I just wanted to reinforce that aspect of that verse.
That's great. And that too, Tyler, we're going to come back to one of those passages you mentioned. In one of the churches in the New Testament, we're going to see that. Because that is just given as you read your New Testament. It's just a given that these are actual people on the ground in Thessalonica, Philippi, Rome, and so on. Okay, good. Want to address this. You hear this often too. Accountability, right, is a bad word for many reasons. But one of the things that's not here when we think about membership, it's not second class. People will say, well, it has this feeling of second class, right? There's members and then there's other folks. This is, again, I'm just addressing feedback that we get. Accountability, right, is not second class. So this is what, when we talk about practicing accountability, why are we saying it is so important? Go to Hebrews 10:24-25. Someone read those passages for us. I think we're still in a recovery mode from the pandemic. These two verses got butchered so badly over COVID. Is that not true? Like, these took slaughter, and we're just recovering them. So someone read these two verses for us.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
So what is the obvious? I know this is obvious. What's the obvious negligence and bad habit in that passage? Gather, meeting together.
Fellowship.
Yeah, exactly. And the force there is that it's wrong. It's negligence to not meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So one of the functions of membership is this, right? To help us with our propensities to negligence. Is that not true? Now here's one, David, we've shared this many times when I have come, and you've heard this, some of you have heard this story so many times. I remember one of the first calls I made, first on the ground here, calling someone. They were on, David, it was giving me, just these are the people at Westmount Bible Chapel. and working my way down, and I called one, and the first word out of their mouth is, "Are you taking attendance?" Yeah, I know I haven't been there for 3 weeks, but are you taking attendance? Now, can we feel the force of that together? Hopefully, you know, David, we're in one sense, the answer to that question might be yes, because we care about you, and we haven't, exactly, thank you, love it, a group now that just understands totally what, he said yes, yes, as it should be, as it should be. What it isn't is what the connotation is for many people. You know, that David and I have our star charts out, and it's, oh, are they there? Oh, they're not there. And like, right? We are shepherding you, and we care. If I don't see Bill we are on Bill when he's 5 minutes late. If we don't see Bill for, had to do that, brother. If we don't see him for 3 weeks, think about that. If you don't see Bill for 3 weeks, are you concerned? Exactly. Do you know that for some people, you don't even notice that they haven't been there 3 weeks, right? But this is, but right, non-members is what I'm talking, visitors. This is what we're talking about. Is he okay? Bill, we wouldn't even let you get through a week. Like, is he all right? Did he sleep in? What's he doing? This is what we're talking about because it's negligence. It's negligence. And we care and love one another. Membership is a mechanism, right, for that. So that's one. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. But it's not just being in the same room together. Everything's okay if we show up on Sunday and just be together. And do you know, let's move into a malady of the modern church number two. Just be here on Sunday. How many people subscribe to that? Just be here. Get bright, shiny, happy. Throw out a God is good and just be here on Sunday. Right? It's more than that, isn't it? And that's what accountability is. Read 1 Corinthians 5:1-2.
It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and sexual immorality of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. And you have become puffed up and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst.
So what is Paul saying here, as Atticus just read? What's going on in Corinth that just causes him to write this chapter here? Sexual sin of a kind, the what? Not even the unbelievers do. In fact, he's just astonished in one sense. If we get the force of this, this is happening in their midst, right? So he's going to say two things. He's going to say, one, you need to do something about this. And that's a lesson for us, right? It's not enough to just show up in this building on Sunday. Membership means what when we think of sanctification? What do we care about more than just attendance?
Worship
and care and holiness and sanctification, yeah, right? So, and again, I mean, I'm sure I'm chafing a lot of things here. Yes, we care how you're living your life. God does. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to pursue him. No, you can't have your closet of stuff and your online account, and your pet sins. Sanctification, right? This is what we see right here. And then what does he say? You've been tolerating it. What should you do? You should do what to this person? Put them out. Let me ask you something. How can you be put out of something unless you're in it? Right? Do you see how membership is helpful here? How are you put out? What about Bob, who we see sometimes, we heard he's sinning. He shows up once a month. How do we put him out of this? Right? Membership's your mechanism. We say membership's the teeth for the 1 Corinthians 5 and the 1 Timothy 1 and 1 Thessalonians and so on. Does that make sense? It's accountability. And I would like to think for a genuine Christian, we would say, praise God we have those mechanisms, right? We were meeting the Wibby guys. We were kind of joking last night as we were talking, right? None of us are going to let each other get away with heresy and bad things because we just see each other too much. We're not going to get away with that stuff because we're just in each other's lives, right? So, and that's good, right? We don't want to do this and put up a whammy to that and all that. No, these are good things that we embrace. Okay, go to James. So it's not just attendance, sanctification. It's prayer. James 5:16. Who's got that? Yeah, when... Well done, David. Well done. Nice and strong. When Adriel got up here and gave prayer requests, were you scratching your head? I'm like, man, who is he talking about? Team Joy. Like Team Joy, right? We know. We rejoice with them and weep with them. We understand it. This is doing life together when you pray for one another. And again, that's another command. So it's not just being in the same room together, caring about the holiness of each other, bearing the burdens as you pray for one another. Right? Think about, we talked about the unsaved spouses. Just really, at this point, I think for everyone here, they're just locked down. Krista, Bill, Mel, Michelle, Marianne, every single day we're praying for these spouses. Are we not? Every day. We're praying because this is life together, right? We're praying for one another. Things that we're suffering with, struggling with, because we know each other and we're in each other's lives. And this is what accountability does. And lastly, arrival and exit. Tyler, you queued us up to this. We can turn to Romans 16. One imagines, if you read this, we're not going to read the whole list, but I want you to just scan 1 to 16. I mean, if you were to count all those names, right, it would take a little bit, not to mention just saying them, but these are names that would be very familiar to the Romans, right? These are actual people in the Roman church. Now imagine arriving and exiting. That's a thing, isn't it? We have had this summer, or this fall actually, we had 2 couples leave this church. One of them you knew because they're members, Phil and Barb, and they left, right? They were members. We had another couple leave, which you may or may not know, and they left. They were not members, but we worked through, you know, they met with us, talked. They were ones that were considering membership, but they left. But do you see how they're not on Matt's point? They're not on that list. They're not identified here as a local body. This helps us with the accountability, right? So you should say, okay, I haven't seen Phil and Barb. Where are they? We make an announcement. They have exited. It's not like a visitor that comes in who's been here for 2 months and then they kind of wander out. Very different thing. And we can see how this all falls under the umbrella of accountability. Membership is that. Membership isn't. It kind of bucks against the church carousel. Have you heard that term? How people get on the church. I'm church shopping. Have you heard that? I'm looking for a church. I'm just jumping around from church to church. David, remember one of the things they told me when I came here, Peterborough is just infamous for the church carousel, right? People just go from church to church, service provider here, jump to this church, I'm not getting fed here, I don't like what I got out of here, and they keep jumping around, right? Because it's very anonymous.
The circulation of the saints.
The circulation of the saints. Wow, there you go. But that sadly describes it, doesn't it? Membership is a mechanism against that. To say, no, you're not on a carousel, right? And you're not being circulated. You are committed to a church. Very good. All right. So we've looked at identity, of how it fleshes out, accountability, and third, service. And you can see how we're going to put these pieces together. You're identified so that you are accountable. And that fuels your service, right? And then you're accountable also when you're serving, actually, which we'll see in a moment. But all of these pieces fit together. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. That also is an imperative, which is a command that says you have gifts, you have a gift, you need to be what? Using it. There's no room for keeping it shrink-wrapped on the shelf, or there's no room to just be using it in the marketplace for your own good. You're to use that gift. 1 Corinthians 12 says where and how and for what end? Yeah, to build up for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to build up others. That's why you've been given giftedness. Not to promote yourself and keep yourself going, not to use it there, and not to use it, to build up the assembly. So membership is a way that we can help make sure that we do that, because again, we recognize we have a propensity not to. We talked about the giving account. David and I will. This is one of the ways that we just look to on this list, just knowing where everyone serves and wanting to encourage everyone to serve. It's not just an Excel spreadsheet. We want to make sure members are serving and using their giftedness. So we use administration to do that. Making sure that everyone is, right? And doing that well. And listen, I hope you don't always feel it's just like, well, this needs to be done, you do it. We pray as we move along that you're starting to move and find places where you serve with joy, right? There's going to be times where you need to maybe initially serve where there's a need, but we're always looking to connect that directly to giftedness. But we must be serving. And membership, as you can see, administration helps us to broker that. So member service, let's talk about this. Member service at Westmount. So we would have areas of service, and this is a really important and in-the-weeds reason why membership would be supremely important, because we have areas that we'd be called the vulnerable sector, right? When we have children serving with kids, right? These are police-checked ministries. Chapel Kids, Blueprints, and Groundworks. We do not just throw anyone into these ministries. I've shared with you before the horror stories we've heard of people just showing up at a church. Some of you have had this, and they say, can you help a nursery today? The horror of it all, right? Can you imagine that? No, not here, not at Westmount. We don't have that. You have to wait at least 6 months. I mean, that's the minimum to get to know before we even talk about becoming a member and so on before you get into ministries like this. So membership helps us as a guardrail for things like this. You cannot serve in these ministries. You can't teach. You cannot do this, right, unless you are a member at Westmount. Now we're going to get to the households in a moment, but I want to make sure that's clear. Also, we have regular service roles that John manages a master schedule. That's just a piece of it there. We have the sound booth at the back. We have the greeters, post-service prayer, Brenda's team up here. We have security as well, the guys that do security. John does this master schedule juggling all these roles, and these are members that are on this schedule. Right? This is where, when you think about what does it mean to be a member, we are looking to encourage, give oversight to people using their giftedness in these specific roles. Some of them are more sensitive than others. Some of them are more regular than others, but we're making sure that you serve. And these are members' roles. Does that make sense? Okay. But we also have members' household service, and we have talked about this before in terms of how do we encourage this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we recognize in homes now, let's be clear, in members' households, where parents say are members, maybe one or two of the children are, younger ones may not be yet, we want to encourage them in raising their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And one of the ways they can do that is to be alongside them as they serve in ministries. So that's why we do have sometimes some of the younger ladies that help their moms in the Chapel Kids ministry. And that's a way they can come alongside, so a police-checked mom with their daughter, but giving them instruction, modeling for them what it means. Probably the night before, they would have encouraged them in how to pray to the Lord together. This is what it looks like with mommy serving or whatever it would be. So that's one thing we do here for members' households. We also do that. You notice we've done that before with ushers, having to be under the roof of member parents. Now, one thing we recognize, David and I, is we are brokering this good idea that we think to help homes. It's not perfect. And I think we want to go on record to say that. We recognize that there are things that we're continuing to address and shore up. And we love the input and the questions. But we are looking to fulfill that biblical mandate to help parents to do that. So in one sense, I guess I could say it's a bit of a work in progress, not perfect, But those are areas that we're definitely constantly reforming in. Any questions on that so far? Members only service, members household service, before we get to non-members. Are we good? David, anything on that? Oh, is it good? Okay. So let's talk about non-member service at Westmount. Now, on one sense, to introduce this bucket, what we could say, if you're a non-member, you can't serve at all, right? And I think some people are partial to that. In no possible way can you serve at all here. I think as we've talked about it through the years, we just can't get to that position, David and I, especially when, let me share this with you, when we have non-members here who have been meeting with us in good faith, seeking to be members, but needing to use their giftedness. It's very difficult for us to throw down the iron curtain and say you can't serve at all. Does that make sense? So that's where we're at, recognizing that some may disagree with that position, but that's where we're at. We very difficult for the elders to say, yeah, you've been a faithful attendee, you're working with us, meeting with us to see if you can be a member, but you can't. However, what we do recognize is there are still areas, many areas, that you wouldn't be able to serve in. The vulnerable sector areas, the regular areas, no. But there are things that are peripheral. They're the projects, they're the helps that we say, okay, we can do that. Maybe it's a one-off thing. We recognize that saints need to be using their gifts, right? Especially in a local church context. We recognize that for many of these folks who would even be doing this, they are in good faith discerning if this is the place where they're going to be. So this is our practice here at Westmount. So I want to make sure you guys understand that. And again, we're always open to questions on that as we just really look to, in one sense, shore up, tighten up a really good membership process, but be realistic with people that are genuinely taking their time to see if this is the church they want to commit to. And I would speak, David, is it not true? It's really good what we've seen over the past year or two. People taking membership seriously. But at the same time, it's hard for us to say, well, you can't be involved in anything here. So that's that. Now, often, again, I want to be clear, those that are even in this bucket are ones that have been here, they're faithful to attend, you know them, and they are, by and large, in good faith, seeking to see if this is where they want to stay. Now, I want to address this, because we do hear this, I've heard this a few times, that they do not bear the main weight, but get to do what they like. We've heard this expression a few ways. We have heard it. And this is one of the things where you're as tight a group as we are at Westmount, you're going to hear an expression like this, right? And it would be that these folks, if they're doing things like that, they like to do those things. What about the ones that are in the trenches in Chapel Kids and doing these pieces? And that's a fair comment, right? We don't want it to be, as David mentioned, people have come and they just want the benefits of being at a church like Westmount, but they just don't want to serve. They're very content with pressing the remote control, right? So we want to address this. They do not bear the main weight. So we do need, I think we're obligated to share with you a few things. Number one, Hebrews 13:17, non-members are at spiritual risk. Can I put that in neon lights? Non-members are at spiritual risk. They are not in submission to any local church spiritually and authoritatively. Does that make sense? You guys all tracking, or did the room just die with that?
No. That?
And non-members are told so. In fact, I think we have one or two of those that are here in the room. They know that one of the things that I say explicitly when we're meeting back and forth is that you are in a position that is not optimal. You must commit to a local church. So we say that to them. As difficult as that may be, we want to make sure. So this is not that they're just here. We say to them point blank, you're in a very vulnerable position to not be at risk. Third, there's an impediment in bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who what? Weep. When we close the doors, when we talk about intimate member business, those folks are not in the room and they're being shut out from a life that they live on Sundays, from this intimate stuff. We've had stuff at Westmount, haven't we? A lot of closed door meetings that have just been awful and hard. And we weep with those people. Non-members for an extended period of time are not in those intimate kind of rejoice with them, weep with them. And we tell them that too. And by the way, non-members also will answer to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Ultimately, this is not a matter of no accountability, right? As some people may feel like. Everybody will answer, will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I think what we here at Westmount attempt to do is, as best as we can, knowing the different states of where people are, we encourage them to the end of membership, but we can't coerce and force, nor would we ever want to do that. Does that make sense before we get to our last bucket meetings? Okay, good. Questions on that? Are we tracking? Yeah, Tyler, we got a question back there, David.
Hi, you want to just pop back a slide? Just want to ask for you to clarify maybe to the last slide there, brother, sorry.
The impediment and bearing?
No, the last slide altogether.
Like keep going back?
Of the guys, yeah, working up there. I just wanted you to clarify, so you have obviously members, I would hope there'd be pretty broad agreement on, you know, no one's serving in chapel kids if they just walk through the door.
Yeah.
But what's your category, you and David both, on, you know, a brother who shows up day one, but say it's spring cleaning day, and, you know, he's like, I was just blessed by the fellowship. I'm mindful in this, you know, every Sunday if there's visitors, and to say, like, you know, he doesn't pick up a cloth and clean a table on a spring cleaning day, is that, like, a permissible thing in your guys'
yeah.
view? Where you, again, like, maybe they're just visiting from Florida, right, and, you know, they're just hitting Sunday service, and they're heading out of town, and they're a brother and sister, right? So
yeah.
What's the position there?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tyler. And, you know, that speaks to something, and, I mean, David, you may want to pick this up, too. I think you appreciate what Tyler's question, some of the nuances that we have to face sometimes, right? And I would say, Tyler, to answer that question, it's the spirit, not the letter, often with these things. We recognize that we do and we want to and we must have parameters on what members are doing. But if we hold that so tight, we're going to cause other issues that may trend into telling that guy, no, don't wipe the table. Right, as he comes in for a one-off thing, which I know that's not what you're saying, but I want to use that as the point. I think sometimes as much as David and I may want to fuss and fret over someone who seems like they're just kind of getting in and doing stuff, we do need to leave these things to the Lord. We need to administer and broker the things that are very clear. Vulnerable sector, chapel kids, regular schedules. But honestly, Tyler and others, if you're wondering, I mean, I think you would appreciate it gets pretty tricky to start closing around after that. Now, we do, and we've definitely taken heat for that. So we're not saying we don't do that, but it can get difficult, especially with a scenario like you said. Someone shows up for spring cleaning day who's not a member. Yeah, that one is hard. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Make a difference if we didn't know the person at all.
Yeah.
Like, we have kids running around here cleaning day. We're not going to let someone off the street come in and
That's right.
be involved. But if it's someone we know mm-hmm. very well who's still not a member, mm-hmm. that's different.
Yeah, and that's a good one. And maybe, Tyler, if you're getting to that, we have had those situations where someone has been, let's just say, a shadowy kind of an unknown, a stranger, and we definitely have had people on them, right? We're not letting them go at all, versus someone, as David is saying, we know them, they're not a member, they've been here for, say, 2-3 years or whatever it will be, but we know them. Yep.
The only biblical example that's in my mind right now would be a Phoebe, who's coming with a commendation from Paul, but is presumably unknown to the Roman congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just talking about visiting brothers and sisters, like, you know, if I went to Florida and visited a church, I would hope I wouldn't be utterly shut out from, you know.
Of course.
If there was some opportunity to serve and you just, you know, you enjoy the fellowship of the saints. That's all I'm trying to drive at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get that there's a spirit and not a law, but if there was any clarification there in terms of, you're obviously saying it's a case by case, but
yeah, case by case. But I think you're probably saying the same thing we are, that of course, I mean, a visiting brother, sister, no doubt about it. You know, Jerry's family's here, and you know, his cousin wants to wipe the table or whatever, and they're well known, of course, right? Yeah, exactly. So, good. Any other questions on that? Yeah, John.
What about folks that have been here for a long time and they represent Westmount really well, but they're not members?
Yep.
And one of the things that you talked about is that in order to be a member, you have to serve. Well, these people have been here for quite a while not serving.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, John, so they've been here for a while and not serving. Yeah, I would say this is where I turned that very right comment here, where we've seen that before. They don't bear the main weight. There is a spiritual impediment, like I said, John, and an answering to God feel that comes into play there, that in every meeting that we have with those folks, it comes up. You're not in an optimal situation. Yeah, this is not good. You shouldn't be. Now, again, what can we do with that? If they are working through a process to discern, and I know I'm repeating myself, if they are genuinely seeking this place to be a place to be, well, we can find ways that they can serve, especially when they ask us. We want to meet that. There's things that we do say no to them for, like they can't do this, that, and the other. But John, I think on Tyler's question, your question, you're getting at some of the pieces that we do face to say, yeah, it's not an optimal situation. There is an impediment and restriction more than just how we feel about it. I think in the eyes of the Lord, right, that would be. So we're with you. I mean, on both questions, we absolutely see it. Yeah. Good. Others? Then? Okay. Good. All right. Last one is meetings. Meetings. We've already alluded to the closed door meetings, but how did we get here? With membership, we're talking about being identified, right, with this local assembly, whether it's on paper or on a digital list or whatever it would be, or as you stand up and be recognized in the assembly, that you're accountable. So when you're identified, you're accountable, right? And when you're accountable, it's for things like not just being at church, but serving, right? Remember, we talk about how we make sure that members are serving. We want to stir them up to love and good works. And part of a function then for all of these things to happen is just the information. Is a member well informed? One of the things that's not lost on David and I, why we launched the AGM Junior a couple of years ago. So much is happening, and we want to make sure members are aware of the things that are happening, that they need to be informed. That's why we have two AGMs in March and October. And these are, and let's call it this, as much as this term is, you know, again, bristled at, a closed-door meeting. Because we talk about everything from finances to difficult member issues, right? We give updates. You know, it's not all bad news in the closed-door meeting, right? We do all kinds of things that are members' purview. So we do one in March and we do one in October, and those are bigger meetings where we go through a bunch of material. Give a lot of updates, a lot of financial stuff David takes us through in March. Sometimes we have to do member updates, and they're not at AGM Sundays, and this has happened from time to time, unfortunately, because of a sinful member, a straying member, a discipline issue. Sometimes these things that are just very, very pressing, we can't wait for a few months. There's a situation that comes up that we need to make sure the members are aware of because they're interacting with a particular individual. So oftentimes, and this will take the form of sometimes it's really an emergency where we have to dismiss people. These are difficult ones. And if you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. It's the end of a service and we have to dismiss all the non-members. And you're right, wait 5 minutes and have the members here and we close the door. That's where something really unfortunate is going on. Sometimes, and we've had this, where after a dinner, we just invite the members to come back up and we'll have a short meeting because we have to update them on something that's going on. So both of those, when you think about meetings, membership, what does it look like here at Westmount? We want to keep members informed of all things, from financials to discipline, and so on. Now, those two buckets there are closed door because of the sensitivity. The third one there we would call family chats. Oh, sorry, David. Go ahead.
I hope you understand that we could easily, in a stage, send everybody an email that's a member, but we do not put in print any more than we have to.
Yeah.
It's better to say it verbally. Once you put something in print, it can cause lots of problems.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, David, and hopefully you have noticed that. We avoid it as much as possible. As inconvenient as the in-house member meetings are, we would rather do that. And most especially when we have a straying member, right? I mean, we are in the age where it's not only that things are taken out of context, things are just changed, right? You throw something out, they completely change. And we would rather, right, in concert, as David is saying, with just the way that it should be done face-to-face. So that's what those first two buckets are, in face-to-face member meetings that have sensitive information. The non-sensitive stuff we can do in a family chat. If you've been here for a bit, you know you're having lunch, you're just about to get into your dessert, and David or Jason stand up and say, oh, can we have your attention? That's your cue that a family chat is happening. And we have, what, two or three items to give you? And those are the non-sensitive stuff. We have updates. Maybe we're talking about the cards or talking about something else. But they're non-sensitive updates. And then finally, we have the end of service ones where everyone is here. Service is done. It's at the end of a benediction. We read bands as we did for Adriel and Rachel. We will be again soon next year. We do that for installing new elders as well too. We announce arrivals. Obviously, Mike and Rebecca, you most recently were ones, right, that had the spotlight on you as you arrived. We also have exits, as you saw with Phil and Barb. And oftentimes, this is what we like to see in healthy exits, right? You come up, and we send you off with blessing, and we want to pray for you. So Phil and Barb allowed us to do that. But the line there just signifies how are we working membership through here, through different meetings, different ways that we keep the membership informed. Questions on that? Does that make sense? And if you've been here at Westmount for any amount of time, you know this is how we run it through. We want to keep things as tight as possible and transparent as possible. All right, we'll leave it there. It is almost right on time. So what have we looked at tonight? What does membership look like? The how at Westmount? Its identity. And we talked about everything from in print, right here physically in our foyer, right down to standing up in the middle of the assembly. So that's identity, being publicly identified with a local church. And identity leads to accountability. So you're not just standing up to say, this is my church. You're accountable. You have responsibilities as you look to live out your Christ-likeness here at the church. Everything from indeed attending to serving, which is our third bucket, and we want to encourage our membership to do that, that they're not only using their giftedness, but using it in time in areas of great joy. And finally, we keep the membership informed through meetings, some specific ones, closed-door ones, right through to informal ones, more broad ones, with all the fun announcements along the way. All right. Any questions? Of course, and we should say this too, David, we are always here to answer questions, even if you don't necessarily do it publicly. I would imagine with a topic like this, some of you might have more very specific questions. Please just ask us. But this is an opportunity, more town hall style, if someone does have a question and wants to ask. Hopefully that is helpful. David, anything before we wrap it?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, let me close, and again, we're here. David and I are here if you have questions for us. Jeremy, you're going to take the baton to another hot-button issue, music. Jeremy will do all of that, so you can blaze with that next week. But let me close us in prayer before that. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a God that is gracious to us to pluck us from darkness and place us in the light of your Son, to place us not just in his body, Lord, when we think about that reality spiritually, but we thank you physically that you place us in local bodies like this here at Westmount, that we can be members of, that we can live out our walk and our faith in, where we can serve and do the one another's, rejoicing with one another, weeping with one another. Lord, thank you for this local expression here. And as we continue to flesh that out on the ground here at Westmount, continue to help us, Lord, as we look to honor you in all of our practices, Father. We pray that you would renew us, you would sustain us, Lord, continue to be glorified here. So we thank you for this evening as we continue to think through what we believe. And God, we do commit the steps ahead to you now with thankfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.